Fiat. December 25th, 1937. The descent of the divine word. How he departed from heaven while still remaining in heaven. Prodigies of the incarnation. The beginning of the feast of the divine will. How in his divine works God puts aside the human ingratitude. I was following the acts of the divine will, and my poor mind paused in the act of the descent of the divine word upon earth. My God, how many wonders, how many surprises of love, of power, of divine wisdom. They are so great and so many that one does not know where to begin to tell them. And my beloved Jesus, as though inundated in his sea of love that rose its waves, surprising me, told me, "My blessed daughter, in my descent upon earth, the wonders, the ardor of our love were so great and so many that neither angels nor creatures are capable of understanding what our divinity operated in the mystery of my incarnation. Now, you must know that our Supreme Being possesses by nature its incessant motion. If this motion could cease, even for one instant, which cannot be, all things would remain paralyzed and with no life. Because all things, the life, the preservation, and everything that exists in heaven and on earth, everything is dependent upon that motion. Therefore, in descending from heaven to earth, I, Word and Son of the Father, departed from our primary motion, or rather, I stayed and I left. The Father and the Holy Spirit descended with me. They were concurrent. Neither did I do a single act, if not together with them. And they remained on the throne, full of majesty, in the celestial regions. So, as I left, my immensity, my love, and my power descended together with me. And my love, which seems incredible and is not satisfied if it does not form many lives from my life for as many existing creatures, not only did so, but it formed and multiplied my life everywhere and in every place. And holding my immensity in its power, my love filled it with many of my lives so that each one might have a life of mine for himself alone. And the divinity might have the glory and the honor of as many divine lives of ours for as many things and creatures as we issued to their light. Ah, our love repaid us for the work of creation. And forming many of our lives, it not only repaid us, but it gave us even more than what we had done. Our divinity remained enraptured and felt so sweet an enchantment in seeing the devices and stratagems of our love, in seeing so many of our lives being spread out, since our love made use of our immensity as the circumference in which to place them. Therefore, while my life could be seen as the center, my immensity and power were the circumference in which these innumerable lives were deposited. And finding everything and everyone gave themselves in order to love us and to be loved. I remained surprised in hearing this. And my sweet Jesus, giving me no time, immediately added, "My daughter, do not be surprised. When we operate, we do complete works, so that no one can ever say, 'He didn't do this for me. His life is not fully my own.' Ah, love cannot arise when things are not one's own and are not held in one's power. Besides, isn't this what the Son also does, which is a work created by us, that while making itself light for the eyes, up to filling them completely with light. At the same time, it is light, full and whole, for the hand that works, for the step that walks, in such a way that all created things and creatures can say, the sun is mine. And while the center of the sun is in the height of the atmosphere, its light departs and remains. And with its circumference of light, it invests the earth and becomes life and light for each one, even for the little flower and the tiny blade of grass. Yet the sun is not life. It possesses light, and light does it give, together with all the goods that its light contains. While our divinity is life, the author and life of everything. Therefore, in descending from heaven to earth, I had to do complete acts, and more than sun, make a display of my life, multiplying it into many lives, so that heaven, earth, and everyone might possess my life. Had it not been so, it would not have been a work worthy of our wisdom and of our infinite love. Jesus remained silent, and I continued to think about the birth of little baby Jesus. And he added, little daughter of my will, the feast of my birth was the feast, and as though the beginning of the feast of my divine will. As the angels were singing, glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to man of good will, the angels and the creation became all festive, and while celebrating my birth, they celebrated the feast of my divine will. In fact, with my birth, our divinity received true glory unto the highest heavens, and men will have true peace when they recognize my will, giving it dominion and allowing it to reign. Only then will their wills become good. They will feel the divine strength, and heaven and earth will then sing together, glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to the man who will possess the divine will. Everything will become good in men, and they will possess true peace. Then I continued to think of the birth of the little King Jesus, and I said to him, cute little baby, tell me, what did you do when you saw the great human ingratitude in the face of your great love? And Jesus, my daughter, had I taken into account the human ingratitude before my great love, I would have taken the way to go back to heaven. But I would have saddened and embittered my love, and turned a feast into mourning. So, would you like to know what I do in my greatest works, in order to make them more beautiful? With pomp, and with the greatest display of my love, I put everything aside, human ingratitude, sins, miseries, weaknesses, and I give course to my greatest works, as if those things did not exist. Had I wanted to pay attention to the evils of men, I would not have been able to do great works or put all my love in the field. I would have remained hampered, suffocated in my own love. Instead, in order to be free in my works and to make them as beautiful as I can, I put everything aside, and if necessary, I cover everything with my love, so that I see nothing but my love and my will. And in this way, I move forward in my greatest works. And I perform them as if no one had offended me, because for the sake of our glory, nothing must be lacking to the decorum, to the beauty and the greatness of our works. This is why I would like that you too would not occupy yourself with your weaknesses, your evils and your troubles. In fact, the more the creature thinks about those, the weaker she feels, and the more the poor one feels drowned by evils, while her miseries press round her more tightly. by thinking about it. Weakness feeds more weakness, and the poor creature keeps falling even more. Evils acquire more strength. Miseries make her die of hunger. On the other hand, by not thinking about them, they disappear of their own. The complete opposite happens with what is good. A good feeds another good. One act of love calls for more love. One abandonment in my will makes her feel the new divine life within herself. Hence, the thought of what is good forms the nourishment and the strength in order to do more good. This is why I want your thoughts to be occupied by nothing other than loving me and living in my will. My love will burn up all your miseries and your evils, and my divine volition will become your life, making use of your miseries as the footstool on which to raise its throne. Then I continued to think about the little newborn Jesus, and oh, how it broke my heart to see him crying, sobbing, wailing, and shivering with cold. I wanted to place an I love you of mine for each pain and each tear of the divine little one to warm him and to calm his crying. And Jesus added, "My daughter, I feel one who lives in my will, in my tears, and in my wailing. I feel her flowing in my crying sobs and in the shivering of my baby limbs. And by virtue of my will, which she possesses, she turns the tears into smiles and the sobs into heavenly joys. With her lullabies of love, she warms me and changes the pains into kisses and embraces. Even more, you must know that one who lives in my will receives continuous grafts of all that my humanity does. If I think, I graft her thoughts. If I speak and pray, I graft her word. If I work, I graft her hands. There is nothing I do that does not form a graft for the creature, to make of her the repetition of my life. More so since my divine will being in her, I can find my power, my sanctity, and my very life to do whatever I want with her. How many prodigies can I not do when I find my will in the creature? I came upon earth to cover everything with my love, to drown the evils themselves and burn everything up with my love. By justice, I wanted to repay my father, because it was just that he be given back the honor, the glory, the love, and the gratitude that everyone owed him. Hence, my love gave itself no respite. It filled the void of his glory and of his honor, to the extent of repaying, by dint of love, the divinity who had created a heaven, a sun, a wind, a sea, a flowery earth, and all the rest, while man had uttered not even a thank you for the so many goods he had received, acting as the true thief, the ungrateful one, the usurper of our goods. And my love ran and ran in order to fill the abysses of distance between the creator and the creature. It repaid my celestial father by dint of love, and by way of love it purchased back all human generations, to give back to them again the life of my divine will. My love had already formed many lives of divine will as their ransom, and when it is my love that pays, the value is such that it can afford to pay for all and buy back whatever it wants. Therefore, you have already been purchased by my love. So, let me enjoy you and possess you."